Maybe we'll just pray again before we look into the Word of God. Our Father, we draw near for a few moments to speak to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee, our Father, for the ever open door into Thy holy presence. One of the things that we came to enjoy, Father, when we trusted the Lord Jesus, was that we were able to come into Thy presence and speak to Thee at any time, night or day. And we thank Thee for this. And our Father, Thou knowest what's before us and this meeting, and we pray for the blessing of God, that thoughts will be clear, and our Father, we will not be sidetracked, and that help will be given. We pray Thy blessing, Father, upon the Word, not only to the speaker, but to the hearer as well. So, and our Father, we'd ask Thee to remember again the children, and as they are spoken to over the other room, we pray that help will be given to Steve as he would speak to them. We commit our ways to Thee now, our Father, and ask Thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I said to Allison between the meetings that he and I, we didn't talk about what, he didn't tell me what he was going to speak about after the meeting this morning, and I didn't tell him what was on my heart about this meeting. But one is very close to the other. He just has looked at the subject just a little bit different than I'm going to. And he mentioned the devil, and that is really what is before me for the next little while. I had wasn't really thinking about this when I found that I would probably have to take part this morning. In fact, I had a little bit of the in my mind to speak about the judgment seat of Christ, but the more I thought about it, and the more I prayed about it, and the more I read, this subject came before me, and I felt, well, I would believe that it is the leading of the Holy Spirit, and trust that God will give help to speak. I want to speak about Satan. Now, of course, he's referred to has many names in the Scriptures, but the two that are most prominent are the fact that he's called Satan. In fact, there's 56 times that the actual word Satan is used in the Bible. 19 times in the Old Testament and 37 times in the New Testament. Then the other is the devil, and actually the word devil is not used, to my knowledge, in the Old Testament, but it is mentioned 61 times. In the New Testament. 35 times it's used as a slanderer or a false accuser, and we'll probably mention that again, or a defamer, one who defames someone. And that is 35 times. And then 18 times it is mentioned, that word devil is mentioned, but actually should be referred to, should be translated and spoken of as demons rather than the devil. There is only one devil, one Satan, but there are many demons. And so that's a little bit of what's before me. I do want to say before we start, or before we go any farther, that Satan is a real being. You know, when I was a kid, I've heard it said since then by people in jest and that sort of thing. But the little phrase, "Well, the devil made me do it," and we would laugh at that. But I'll tell you what: when you read through the Scriptures, the devil and Satan are used, that word, and there's others. There are other derivatives of those two words that would make the usage of the word or the person of the being Satan a very big subject in the Word of God. And so Satan is a real person. He's a real being. He's not just a figment of imagination. I believe he himself has concocted, you see people that write in cartoons, and they have him depicted as this being in a long red sort of clothing and with horns and with a tail and carrying a pitchfork and stuff like that. That's what he would depict himself as. But he's much more sinister than that. Much more sinister. And I think that we have to see him as he really is. And that he is really an enemy. An enemy. An enemy of God. And we'll touch on that a bit more. And so as a result of being an enemy of God, he's an enemy of God's people. In other words, brothers and sisters here today, Satan is our enemy. Now he maybe doesn't attack us because it's us personally. But pretty well everything that Satan does, it is to get through to God. It's to get at God. And so I think that it's a timely subject to give the devil his due, if you want to use those words. And I'd like to just mention this too, that when it comes to defending ourselves against Satan, the first thing that a good soldier does is that he determines who his enemy is. And we all have read and heard, maybe saw it on news or heard about it, that in some, like I heard it in Afghanistan, I heard about it in Vietnam and then in Iraq, and that is that the forces that were fighting, for instance, the U.S. and Canada in Afghanistan, there are times when they didn't figure out who their enemy was, and they killed some of their own, and they called it a friendly fire. I don't know whether you'd ever get that. It's not friendly, but the result was that they didn't have it figured out who their enemy was. And so I believe, brothers and sisters, we have to figure out who our enemy is. And hopefully a few little remarks that we'll have to say in the next 20 minutes or so will be a help in that. First Peter, we'll read first. I have several verses, but I think I'll just go through them. I'll read them before we go to them, before we speak about them. So 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter is writing, of course, and I believe he's definitely writing to believers. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, or watchful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." I'll just stop there. So the first thing that I want to bring out today is that the devil is seen in the scriptures. These are things that the way he is seen in the scriptures. And so he is seen as a roaring lion. He's an adversary. That's a big word. It's not one that we probably use a lot. But what it does, it means that he's an opponent. And he's an opponent against God. And therefore, he's an opponent against us. He is against every work of God. Every work of God, Satan is against. And he has been against God and opposed God for thousands of years. And we're told, I think, in the New Testament, that Satan gets more savage at the end of the time because he knows his days are numbered. And while Satan is not under the control, while he doesn't go any further than God allows him, but it seems to me that he's free to do what he wants to do. But he's like a dog on a chain and only allowed to go so far. But he's opposed to God. I was thinking that an adversary is one that's against you, where an advocate is one that is for you. And so while we have Satan as an adversary, we have the Lord Jesus as our advocate. Satan hates God. He hates everything about God. And so he tries to upset God's work. And one of the ways he does that is by upsetting God's people. He makes us think that we're the enemy, that other Christians are the enemy. And we're all susceptible to that. I'm not speaking here today about that he doesn't attack me, but he attacks other people, or the other way around. He has us all in his sights. He's called a roaring lion. Now I understand, and I have never heard a lion roar. I don't really think that I want to hear a lion roar. But they tell me that if a lion is chasing something that it wants for a meal, that sometimes he will roar so loud that it makes that animal, other animal, whatever he's chasing, so afraid, so terrified that they freeze. Just the roar of a lion. And so you can understand that sometimes the devil is like that. He's like a roaring lion. And so the lion roars very loudly that the prey that he's chasing will freeze and he can devour them. And this is what our verses said. They said, he walketh about seeking, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I believe that Satan tries to intimidate the Christian. And he's a hard foe. He's hard to detect because we can't see him. We can see the results, but we can't see him. It's like the spirit, when in John 3, when Nicodemus was being talked to about the spirit of God, he said, it's like the spirit of God. You can't see the spirit. But it's like the wind in the trees. You'll know that the wind is blowing, although you can't see the wind, because the trees are blowing. And that's where you can see, and you can see where Satan is. And you know something? He affects us all in a different way, I believe. He knows our weaknesses. I was thinking this morning that probably there will be another attack from him. I used to have the idea, and I'm not just sure where I sit in this, but I used to think that if I spoke out loud, Satan would hear me. And so I am speaking out loud. And if he doesn't like it, then probably I'll pay for it. But he tries to overpower or intimidate the Christian. The last little part of that next verse that we read was, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We're told another place to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Now let's look back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read in then at verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, or it shouldn't be a marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, as Satan's emissaries, the demons, and there's no number to them. But be no great thing if his ministers should also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So in 1 Peter, we see that Satan was a roaring lion. But here is the other side of the coin. He's not a roaring lion now. And so if he can't overpower or intimidate by roaring, Satan will use this tactic, that he will come as an angel of light. And suppose that we can understand him when we see that he comes as a roaring lion. But then how do we see him as an angel of light? He's devious. He's wily. And it makes it so difficult to detect Satan when he comes as an angel of light. He makes you think that he's God. He makes you think that it's the Holy Spirit. And he will reason with you. And everything that the thoughts that you have are just so clear in your mind. But we don't know. So we have to be on guard and recognize him and his work. And I'll tell you, a little guard on that would be the knowledge of the Word of God. And I think, in fact, it's our only protection. There's one place where it says that we're to try the prophets. Try the prophets to see whether they're real or if they're not. Let's look back further now in John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. And we'll read at verse 44. Now, the Lord is speaking to the Pharisees here, the Jews, and he says in verse at the beginning, he said, and speaking to them, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." So here's another way that we see Satan in the Word of God, and that is as a liar. And he lies the same as he did before we were saved. Before we were saved, he would put it in our minds that, listen, I can give you satisfaction. There is pleasure in sin, and that's right. But the rest of that verse goes on to say, but only for a season. And Satan says, I can give you just all the satisfaction that you need. He also lied when it came to the gospel. He lied about working our way to heaven, and that we could do things for God that would earn us a place in heaven. But you know something else he can do? He's a liar. He'll make the believer. Question the goodness and faithfulness of God. You believe that? I'll tell you, I do. He will make the believer question the goodness and faithfulness of God. He's a liar. He's the author of lies. He's the father of lies. So here he's seen as a liar. Let's look over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and reading at verse 10. Verse 10. This is, of course, after the church has gone home to heaven and during the times of all the turmoil on earth. John writes, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Here we see him as the accuser of the brethren. Now, I understand that word brethren, just mostly we think when we use the word that it's just brothers. It's just Christian men. But that's not really the case. It means brothers and sisters. So he is seen as the accuser of brothers and sisters, those that belong to God. And Satan has done very well in his work because he has worked at it for hundreds of years, for centuries. He has done this work. And so he accuses God. He accuses us before God. No, I'm sorry. He goes to God and let me come to this in a minute. When we sin as a Christian, when we fail as a Christian, when we fall short of what God's Word says, or when we go beyond what God's Word says, Satan is in, to use a worldly saying, Satan is in God's face and accusing the believers of sin. And he's accusing them. And you can read about those things in the Word of God. He went to God and talked to God about Job. And he said, "You put a fence around him." He said, you can't touch God. Well, God removed everything. And as a result, Satan could do anything that he wanted to except take his life. There's another, I was reading it yesterday about, I believe it's in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, had to do when someone appeared before God and Satan was there to oppose him. He could see him. We can't see him. We don't know all that goes on in heaven. But we're stuck with ourselves. Christian, we're stuck with ourselves. We know that we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I don't know of anybody in this meeting that's perfect. But we're stuck with ourselves. But there's a wonderful reminder that we can get from the Word of God, and that is, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So as much as Satan attacks and accuses us before God, say, "What? No, there you are. They're your people. But you know, the Lord Jesus can step up and say, those sins have all been forgiven." We're just as ready today, we who are Christians, we're just as ready today to be in heaven as if we were already there. Can you keep that in your mind? Sometimes I forget it. I do. Get one more to read. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 again. Second Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So what do we have here? He is seen in the scriptures here as a deceiver. As a deceiver. And he refers back to the Genesis chapter 3 and what he said to Eve. He didn't question what God said, but what he did say was, did God actually say that? So he put a question in Eve's mind as to what God said. And he caused Eve to question God's word. Isn't that just like him? He still does it. He still does it. He still comes in and he says, and he deceives his people, deceives us, and makes us question God's word, God's promises, and God's care. Makes us doubt God. That's a shame. I have a couple others, but the time is gone. But these are the ones that really kind of stuck in my mind, and I trust that these few remarks might be a help to us to mark out the enemy, who is the evil one. And all evil comes from him. God is not the author of evil, but Satan is. And we have a full-time job, every one of us, every day. And as Mr. Godreau says, every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week, Satan is on our case because he hates God and he takes his vengeance out on God because he can't get to God. He takes it out on his people. And we should be vigilant. The scripture also says that resist the devil and he will flee from you. You're no match for him, but you can quote the word of God to him. And so we should be ready to learn what the word of God says. And when you're reading, keep in mind as we just heard this past week when Mr. Sharp was here, and I think the first night he spoke on Thursday night a week ago, he said, when you read, read. Be aware of what you read. And so that's when we find out little tidbits and little things, and they might fit in with just something that we're going through at the present moment, the present time. And so that's a little word. This is God's word. Not necessarily this book, but that's God's word, and God wants us to be, he wants us to be good Christians. He wants us to be joyful Christians. And Satan, of course, I remember years and years ago when I was, well, not quite a little boy, but Clarence used to say, Satan's job, he sees his own job as keeping Christians on the way to heaven unhappy and sinners on the way to hell happy. He sees that as his job. And so let's not help him do his work. He can look after that by himself. May God bless his word, and shall we pray. Father, we commit ourselves to thee again and thank thee for thy good word, the things that we have read from the word. And our Father, we trust that if there's anything that has been said that is not of thyself, that it will be taken from our minds. But also, Father, if there's that which would give us strength against the evil one, that one who would desire to be against thy work and against thy people, we pray, Father, that these things might be in our mind, that it might be brought again to help us. So we commit ourselves to thee now and look to thee for thy blessing.